Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors. But we do help focus you on the events of the week, or in this case, the last couple of weeks. Couldn't make it on the air last week. Had a little cardiac scare. I'm sitting at my desk, and my left arm starts hurting and goes numb. And then hurts more and goes more numb. Then my fingers go numb. And I get up out of the chair and walk around for about 5 minutes, and it's not going away. And I start thinking, you know what? You're at an age where it's not unreasonable to think that you could be having a cardiac incident. And so I went to see the doctor, and it turns out I just have a pinched nerve in my neck. And so I'm not going to die of a heart attack right away. So I'm going to be around for a little bit while. But anyway, going to the doctor for something like that, it takes the whole day. And so it was interesting. I had the opportunity when I went in for my CAT scan to talk about the MRI. And to talk a little bit about Raymond Demadian and the interview we did over at Real Science Radio a few years back. And so always use every opportunity of interaction with the public as an opportunity to witness for creation and the living God and for Jesus Christ. And so I did a bit of that. Did a bit of that on an airplane yesterday, too, with a Mormon woman wearing an N95 mask. Almost every flight, I'm sitting next to a middle-aged woman in an N95 mask. I had an opportunity to witness to her because I was working on my Romans Bible study the whole flight, and at the very end, she asked, "What you working on?" through her N95 mask. And I said, "I'm working on a Bible study through Romans." And she said, "Oh, it looked like you were working on some kind of talk." I said, "Yeah, it's some kind of talk. It's So we got to talk about Romans and how whether or not good people go to heaven, because she's a good person. I told her I'm not. I said, I'm not a good person, so I'm really glad that Jesus Christ was a good person. I'm going to trust him when I die and not my own goodness, because I'm pretty bad. So anyway, it was a good flight. It's been a good couple of weeks. We're glad to be back, and we want to start with, oh, by the way, a note to anybody who looks at the blog, I'm no longer going to link to news sites. I think I'll just highlight. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm not going to link people to news sites that contain pornography. I'm convinced that that's been a mistake, so I'm not going to do that anymore. You're just going to have to take my word for it, and the blog will probably be a lot shorter, which is probably good because, anyway. I want to start with a story that I pulled down from Breitbart. The Biden administration has designated a new director of NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center. The new chairperson, what are they? Oh, the director. The new director is a 45-year-old woman. The first woman, by the way, to ever lead NASA's Goddard Space Center. And that's important because the editors at Breitbart say it's important because they include it in the story. Why? Because even the right-wing alternative media is enveloped in the narrative. They can't help themselves. They are victims, just like you and I. Born into a world so corrupt that we have no chance. We just have no chance. And the folks over at Breitbart are just as pathetic as all of us. Dr. Mackenzie Lystrup is the new 45-year-old first woman to ever lead the... Anyway, she attended her swearing-in ceremony this past week and swore her oath of office not on the Bible, but on a copy of Carl Sagan's 1994 bestseller, Pale Blue Dot.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah, because the heathens and the pagans, they're just out of the closet now. So all of you Christians who thought that you could allow and tolerate a little bit of evil and allow wicked people to be open about their wickedness just a little bit, just to avoid, you know, we don't want to have arguments or conflicts. We're nice. We're good people. All of you out there who call yourselves Christians, who had a responsibility to hold the line against all this, well, now the government agencies, the swearing in is on a pagan's book about how unimportant the earth is, how accidental and unimportant existence is. Our governing officials are swearing in on those type of books, leading straight to hell with jet rockets. Further into the decline and fall file, we go to Time.com, which is a magazine called Time. And they have an article by a couple of communists opining on how Earth Day should be formally designated as a religious holiday. Whoa. I think today is Earth Day, I believe. It's Sunday, and Earth Day is always on a Sunday. Why? Just so they can get it in on the same day as Easter as often as possible. I think it's always the third Sunday in April. I'm not sure. I haven't educated myself. Anyway, the article opens up. Earth Day is upon us. It's upon us. It's like a mugger or a festering boil. That they call it the holiday that some years sandwiches itself between Easter and Passover. Always, almost always, between Easter and Passover, or on Easter or on Passover. Why? So that they can desecrate genuine religious holidays. Holidays that at least make an effort to pay lip service to the actual real God. You know, you can talk about how Jews don't believe in Jesus and they celebrate the Passover, so it's a false holiday. You can say that. You can say that Easter is just a pagan festival appropriated by the Catholic Church in order to make money, and so it's a false holiday. Yeah, you can say all that. But at least those holidays pay lip service to the actual true and living God. Passover to the actual Passover. Easter to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So at least they point people in a direction that they might find out something true. Earth Day, on the other hand, was created by a psychopath who murdered his girlfriend and stuffed her body in a trunk. And it was a pagan holiday, a pagan communist festival in 1970, where people just defiled one another sexually in the streets and called for communism. That's what it was. And now, atheists, heathens, pagans are allowed to advocate that it should be an actual religious holiday in public in the pages of Time magazine. They say the two of us, these are the communists who wrote the article, one is nominally Jewish, the other a recovering Catholic. Ha ha ha. Which means they're just out front, open, pagans, heathens, atheists. They find the ill-defined and only day honoring the earth a little sacrilegious. It bothers them that Earth Day isn't getting the respect it deserves. So these two authors set about to pose what a real Earth Day should represent, a new approach to worship. So have we been telling you for 25 years that this is a religion to these people? This worship of the earth and this fear of civilizationally induced climate catastrophe, that this is a religion? Okay, now they're coming out and admitting it's a religion. What do they want us to do on their Earth Day? They want us to worship. And then they go on and they yammer on about the extinction crisis, the toxic chemical crisis, the climate crisis, acidification of the seas, and the plastic tsunami. We need to repent or be baptized in the plastic tsunami. It's a religion, okay? Open blasphemy and paganism allowed to be publicly spewed is the hallmark of the collapse of a civilization, which is what you are living through in real time, the slow motion train wreck of the collapse of a once dominant global civilization. And it's sad to see, but we hold the line in our little corner of said civilization here in the McBurney compound. And we encourage you to do so in your little circle of influence within said collapsing previously impressive civilization. Now, let's go to the Supreme Court, where we were all kept on pins and needles for the better part of 2 weeks, waiting to see if anyone on the Supreme Court had the intestinal fortitude to ban the abortion pill, by which most abortions happen now, which is why abortion is down. It's down. It's down. No, it's just down in the surgical suite. Abortion is as popular as ever. They just do it with pills now. So the Supreme Court, you'll remember, a Texas judge said the pill's not safe. There's not enough chance that it won't kill the mom. Now, the Kaczmarek in Texas, he didn't say that the pill should be banned because it kills innocent people. He didn't say that, because that's all the Christians who decided to tolerate a little bit of abortion. It's now you can't even say that the killing, you can't even mention the killing of the kid. And that, whose fault is that? It's the Christians' fault, because the Christians are the only ones who knew better. The atheists and the pagans and the heathens, that's what they're going to do. They're going to murder one another. They're going to defile one another, steal from one another, and murder one another. That's to be expected. But it's the Christians who were supposed to hold the line and say, we don't do that. We don't tolerate that, not even a little bit. But they didn't. And so now the Kaczmarek ruled, the Fifth Circuit ruled, then the Supreme Court stepped in and this, and then they kicked it to Friday, and then they finally ruled, no one ever mentioning the life of the innocent people, the lives of the innocent people being snuffed out. None of them mentioning the fact that mothers and fathers become murderers and what that does to society, how that makes it that much easier for unstable people to decide to murder other people. No one mentions any of that. They just mention the legal machinations and the regulatory machinations of the FDA and whether or not that pill was properly whatever. So now mifepristone will be allowed to be sent through the mail, and there's no more requirement for patients to make the 3-in-person visit that they set up so that they wouldn't feel so bad. And now you can use it up to 10 weeks. It used to be just 7 weeks. We made it 10. Why? Because we're just rearranging the fig leaves so that we can help ameliorate some of the horrible guilt we feel for murdering all those people. And so what's happened over the past week is the fig leaves meant to cover the enormous guilt and shame weighing upon the consciences of those who have at the very least given in to the child killers, if not become the child killers. They've rearranged their fig leaves, but kept the killing going. And those who participate in this rearranging of the fig leaves over, you know, they do it in order to just get along and to just not have a conflict. I just want to get along in life. I want to not have a lot of conflict. I want to make a good living. I want to enjoy life. Isn't that what life is about? Isn't that the purpose of life, is that I can enjoy life and make a good living and eat at good restaurants and drink good wine? And so last week, those fig leaves that protect all that, they got rustled around just a little bit last week. But they've all settled back down right to where they were. And the killing machine is running quietly in the background again, slowly churning up the hate that will explode in the next massacre. And all those people enjoying their lives and just getting along, when the next massacre explodes and vomits out all the hatred that the killing machine's been ginning up, all those comfortable people are going to say, why? And they're going to call it senseless. But it's not senseless. And it's completely predictable. And you have no standing when the next massacre is vomited out upon you, to ask why. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. And I want to... by the way, I just want to make a note. Sam Alito and Clarence Thomas dissented from the ruling of the Supreme Court, the opinion of the Supreme Court that kept the abortion pill legal like it is right now. But even this ruling from the Supreme Court is not the final word. The pill is legal like it was before, so you can kill kids just like you did before, but they're going to circle back around on it. Why? Because of the aforementioned enormous guilt and shame that everyone who participates in this murder of children, they're all suffering from it. They deny it and they claim they're free, but in fact, the tension is just building and building and building. And eventually... all of them are going to want to kill each other, and eventually they're actually going to start trying. Well, they already are. The massacres, the murder-suicides, and it's just going to get, the frequency and intensity of all that is going to get more and more severe until there is some sort of crescendo. There's going to be a crescendo event that is going to result in actual sustained warfare, civil war. And it's probably sooner than you think. Anyway, listen to how the Republicans respond. This is from the Politics of Murder file. We have an interview with communist and open communist Marxist, Martha Raddatz, on some open communist Marxist network. Interviewing Representative Nancy Mace, a Republican from South Carolina, and the Marxist asks the Republican about the abortion pill case. There are other cases. How do you see this ending up? How do you want this to end up? Notice the Marxist communist is not afraid to say they have an end in mind. What they want is the naked, unrestricted murder of any innocent person they want to kill. And they're not afraid to say it. What's the end point, Miss Republican, says the Marxist child killer. To the Republican child killer, by the way. How do we know that? Well, Nancy Mace says. She says, as a Republican conservative, constitutional conservative who's pro-life. That's so that's the preface of her answer. So you know now she's about to say what she actually is. Because she just told the lie of what she wants you to think she is. I'm a conservative, a constitutional conservative, and I'm pro-life. And then she goes on to say what she really is. She says, as Republicans, we need to read the room on this issue. Yeah, she actually said that. She says she's pro-life, which would imply she's against murdering people. But when it comes to actually murdering people, we need to read the room and see. She says the vast majority of are not in the extremes. And meaning that most people are like me. They're pro-life. They only want to kill a few people, not all. That's, by the way, that's the new pro-life. You only want to kill some people. You're pro-life some of the time. You know, for pregnancies that don't involve me or anyone around me, it's those other people. Not all. We don't want to kill all the people. And she says, heading into 24, meaning the election, of course, we're going to lose huge if we continue down this path of extremities. The vast majority want some sort of gestational limits. We just want some limits on who gets killed. You know, not at 9 months, but somewhere in the middle, unquote, says Republican Nancy Mace. Not 9 months, somewhere in the middle. She thinks she's Solomon, right? She only wants to cut the baby in half. Anyway, Nancy Mace and all of you other Republicans, stand in the middle of the road and eventually you get run over. Okay? and then just refer back to the advice I just gave about the fact that if you put up with this murder and you endorse it, the enormous guilt and shame in your own mind and in your own life is going to lead to bloodshed within your own family. And I'm not talking about the bloodshed that you've already condoned, the murder of the innocent children. I'm talking about family members in your family will kill each other over this, because that's how much guilt and shame is involved. Murder level, civilizational ending level events are going to occur. And they're going to end the civilization of your mind first, your mental health, then your family, and then eventually your state and the nation, and so on. All right, but then those of us who choose to refrain from imbibing the civilizational collapse, those of us who stand up against it and do something actively against it, like pull our kids out of the government schools, people ask us, what about socialization of your kids? And so one of the authors over at HarbingerDaily.com asked this question in an article this past week, landing that author as reason number 2026 to get your children out of the government schools because of socialization. And the guy, the author at Harbinger Daily starts by defining the term. From the Encyclopedia Britannica, the definition of socialization, the process whereby an individual learns to adjust to society and behave in a manner approved by society. That's the definition of socialization. And my extremely attractive audio engineer, she groaned at that definition. Most people don't. They think, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, right, yeah. But the author here at HarbingerDaily.com contrasts that definition with the biblical command that Christians be not conformed to this world. God makes it clear that his people are not supposed to adjust to a society that doesn't respect him. So I'll try to simplify this for those in the audience who matriculated in the government schools. Socialization is bad. It's against the command of God. And it's against the desire that following Jesus Christ should put in your heart. You should have a desire to be separate from the world. If you don't have that desire, you need to check yourself. That's all. You need to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling and just check yourself. Many, I'll go back to the article, many who ask about socialization regarding home education are mostly thinking about whether children will fail to learn social skills such as communication and healthy interaction with others, unquote. So that's from the article. The author here, I think, is being overly generous. I think the reason most people ask homeschooling parents about socialization is to ameliorate their guilt-ridden conscience for their self-absorbed behavior as absentee parents. That's why they ask homeschoolers about, well, what about socialization? It's because they take your homeschooling as an affront to their parenting, which it is. Not intentional. It's just an occupational hazard. We don't mean to be calling you bad parents. It's just that by trying to be better parents, you look terrible. I'm sorry that makes you feel bad. Get over it. Let's see. Now, the article goes on from HarbingerDaily.com. The idea of socialization goes back to anti-Christian philosopher Auguste Comte, the founder of sociology in the mid-1800s. His goal was to overturn Christian civilization, replacing it with sociology derived from the study of society and group life. Anyway, he's a communist, that's all. Socialization comes from the communists. Sociology comes from the communists. And guys like this pervert who wants to overturn Christian civilization. You know, I didn't realize there were so many people in the mid to late 1800s who made it their life goal to overthrow Christian civilization. We've got to go back, because we think about the good old days. Well, let's go back to the 1800s and try to nail down what exactly happened that allowed people who wanted to openly overthrow Christian civilization to achieve authority in academia and in religious life and in politics? What exactly was the catalyst of that event that allowed people like this Auguste Comte and who was the other communist tranny freak sex pervert from the 1800s that I talked about? Lukács, the Hungarian, the Eastern European. What exactly? And then Darwin. What was going on there in the good old days? We need to figure that one out. I'll be looking into that, and I'll report more on that later. The author at Harbinger Daily regarding reason number 2026 to get or keep your children out of the government schools, socialization. Socialization does occur in government schools, but it's not a positive development. It's bad. Yes, it happens. It's terrible. 1 Corinthians 15. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. That's right. In a typical government school, the pressure from fellow students to get involved in drugs, promiscuity, perversion, crime, and evil is ubiquitous. I know that's true because I lived it. And that was 40 years ago. I lived it. I can't imagine what it's like today. The American Heritage Dictionary's definition of socialize: one, to place under public ownership or control. Let's see. No, that's number one. Two, to convert or adapt to social needs. Three, to take part in social activities. And the author closes with this. This is precisely what's happening. Socialization is an idea in direct opposition to biblical thought. Socialized children will likely spend their lives working against God as a matter of habit. They will have been taught to do so. They will have been taught a humanist mindset, which is by nature in opposition to a godly mindset. And so there you have from Harbinger Daily, reason number 2026, to get or keep your children out of the government schools. Do I have time before the break for reason number 2025? Reason number 2025, in no particular order, to get or keep your children out of the government schools. They might transition your kid without your knowledge. In fact, we have a mother in California who's upset after her daughter's school gave her daughter gender counseling without informing mom. This was up in Chico, California. The Chico Unified School District helped her daughter transition from female to male during the last school year, but kept mom in the dark during the entire process, at which point you've got to ask, where were you, mom? How do you not notice the transition process if your daughter's going through a transition process? I mean, I understand that because you're an absentee mom, you're dropping your kid off at the government school so that you can go to work to earn money to buy whatever it is you like. But, I've had blinders on in my life, but I think I would not miss a gender transition within my own family. I hope. I don't know. Anyway, she says the board had a parental secrecy policy. She says when this originally happened, this is mom. When this originally happened, nobody could have ever told me this was going on, especially in elementary school, says mom. Uh-huh, she couldn't imagine. She says that the school has a damaging, crazy policy for such young children. Really, Mom? Is that it? For such young children? Anyway, I mean, do you even know how old your daughter is? Because, I mean, if you miss the fact that she's going from girl to boy, I'd hate to put you on the spot and ask you when her birthday is. It's the Weekly Worldview. It is the Weekly Worldview, and thank you for sticking with us here about halfway through the show now. And that brings us to reason number 2027. Reason number 2027, to get or keep your children out of the government schools, the principal might get arrested for aggravated sodomy. Oh, what? Yes, I know. I hate to say that in conjunction with the mention of the principal at your child's school. But the principal at your child's school might get arrested. Well, let's just go to Lithonia Middle School. That is in, where is that? Georgia. Assistant principal Samuel David Wilder. Oh, he's an assistant principal. That's because it's a bureaucracy. So you got the guy with the title, and then he hires a guy to do the work. And then they both collect a big fat paycheck. And the assistant, he hires assistants. Anyway, this particular assistant principal, Samuel David Wilder, was arrested last Thursday for aggravated sexual battery, aggravated sodomy, and simple battery. Mm-hmm. That's what we used to call rape. We used to just charge him with rape, but now we charge him with three or four different things so that there are assistants to the assistant in the judiciary that have to make a living as well. And so the bottom line is the assistant principal has been arrested for rape. Now, the district has responded. They've placed Mr. Wilder. They've placed Mr. Wilder on administrative leave, paid administrative leave, of course, because they're going to await the outcome of the investigation. Unfortunately, the investigation has uncovered evidence that has led to his arrest. But the district wants everyone to know that the person raped was not a student, okay, number one. Number two, this rape did not happen on school grounds, okay? So everybody just calm down. But now, it's not like the principal raped a student in front of a classroom. Could you all just calm down? Let's await the outcome of the investigation, and meanwhile, Mr. Wilder is on paid leave.
Paid.
So you know how that, yeah, that's his punishment for now. Because we have to assume he's innocent until proven guilty. So don't even get me started on that. All right. Now, from the Creeps in Sheep's Clothing file, we have an article by Cliff Kincaid over at trevorlouden.com. The headline, Fox is the leading trans channel. That's right. Cliff Kincaid points out that there are peculiar goings-on over at the Fox News channel. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, it presents a show about the life of Jesus. Uh-huh. But on the other hand, it offers viewers a steady stream of homosexuals, gays, perverts, and other transgenders, including Guy Benson, Tammy Bruce, and Bruce Jenner. And is what about the other one on Tucker? Doesn't Tucker have like at least two that he's constantly on? The one guy with the perfect teeth and the well-trimmed beard, and then the other one who lives in South America with a guy and a kid that they're... All right, I'll leave that aside. There's more than these. There's the Fox News is overrun with sex perverts.
Always,
all the time. And Cliff Kincaid points out that this is a schizophrenic to the point where viewers can't help but notice. Really? Well, I know that Cliff Kincaid noticed, and I noticed, but I think nobody else notices much. The channel has hired transgender activist Bruce Jenner now as a paid contributor. Jenner, by the way, Cliff Kincaid points out, is still identified as Bruce on a website on Olympic champions. But Fox News calls him Caitlin because he insists on that, and Fox doesn't mind utilizing Bruce Jenner's mental illness for their profit. They don't mind. They don't mind that Bruce is going to end up killing himself and going to hell. They're going to make some dough on him as a tranny sideshow on the network there. Get some clicks, get some eyeballs. Come on, it's a guy in a dress. Who can at least look? All right, more from Cliff. He says, God-fearing viewers are being played as suckers as the channel paves the way for changes in society based on communist-inspired gender ideology. Amen. Cliff then quotes God, male and female, he created them. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Cliff. So, but Fox News, they don't accept God's definition. They accept Caitlyn Jenner's delusion. And then Cliff says, Tucker Carlson should do an expose. He's talking about how Tucker's the only one. How can Tucker do an expose? Maybe the two homos on Tucker could do an expose on the trannies on the rest of the network. How shocking that is. Anyway, Cliff Kincaid reminds us that the transgender movement had its roots in the work of Harry Hay, a homosexual communist who dabbled in the occult. He reminds us about Leslie Feinberg, a male-to-female transgender member of the Communist Workers World Party, who pioneered the lifestyle. And then don't forget John Money, right? And Yorgi Lukacs. Rupert Murdoch. And so Rupert and his sons, I call Rupert Murdoch's sons Baal and Moloch Murdoch. That's, And so, by the way, and on that note, I'll just mention the Fox settlement with the Dominion voting. Fox settled for almost $1 billion. And why would they do that? Because Fox is with the enemy. Fox took part in the stealing of the election. They took part in it. They were a part of it. That payment is Fox News paying their own organization because they're all in the same group. And that settlement proves it. Those cases are difficult to prove. And Fox, I think it's probably likely that Fox didn't want the suckers on the right, who they're suckering, to see what Fox is actually like. Fox had more to lose by conservatives finding out how liberal they are through that trial. That's why Fox settled that case. That's just my suspicion. Because it's highly unlikely that anything like that kind of money would have been come down in a judgment against Fox. It's just extraordinarily. And now Fox is going to pay off all their other friends who are lined up so that they don't have to reveal what a bunch of communist liberal scum they are at Fox News. But the trannies and the homos on the network should have been a clue. All right. Now, we go from there into the psycho killer file, where the Post-Millennial reports that the suspect in the Easter Sunday stabbing murder of a Portland cab driver was carried out by a tranny, a psycho killer tranny, sex pervert. Moses Jacob Lopez is a man who dresses like a woman, and he was charged with second-degree murder. Days before the brutal murder, the tranny allegedly threatened another person with a weapon, was arrested, but was quickly released without bail. After missing a court date, a warrant was issued for what? For her arrest? Didn't the Post-Millennial just say? Oh, no, that's my note. My note is that it's... they did say that Moses presents as a woman, but then they call her for the whole rest of the article. A warrant was issued for Moses' arrest 3 days before the tranny went on to commit the murder, stabbing a cab driver in the neck at the end of the cab ride. For no apparent reason, by the way, except maybe that the cab driver was not a demented, twisted sex pervert. And so the demented, twisted sex pervert vomited out the enormous guilt and shame in his heart by killing a normal person who reminded him that he's not normal. And so that's what's going to happen here, folks, is that the guilt and the shame and the hatred that builds up in the mind and the heart of someone allowed to practice their sin openly leads to those open sinners starting to kill people. And by the way, it sounds like the Post-Millennial editors are willing to go along with this because they call this tranny she throughout the article. So we need to stop tolerating it. We need to stop playing along in any way. Because if we don't stop playing along, we're never going to be able to draw the line and try to pull civilization back into the realm of sanity. Before there's a civilization-ending event that will do it for us, because God built it into the system that this kind of garbage is only going to go on for so long before the system corrects itself and it's often through violence and bloodshed. And nobody wants that. Nobody wants that except the people who are murdering all the innocent people. They want it, but they want it clean and clinical and quiet so that they can... Now, we don't want a lot of conflict. We want to be able to earn our living and go to the movies and eat at nice restaurants and murder innocent people. And so what happens? Well, the pressure builds. As the killing machine and the hate machine gin up the guilt and the shame and the hatred, the pressure builds. The pressure builds. Here we've got from the dailyfetched.com a trans-identified male posted on TikTok a video saying, quote, you know, this is in regards to allowing trannies to use whatever bathroom they want. This is basically about men wanting to use the women's bathroom. He says, this is a tranny. If you back a wild animal into a corner, they're going to become a dangerous animal. So if you want to die on that hill of yours, of righteousness and moral majority, you go ahead. I dare you to stop a transgender woman in my presence from using the bathroom. It will be the last mistake you ever make, says the tranny. Uh-huh. And then he makes allusions to arming up with firearms against normal people. Folks, open violence against Christians as a group is on the rise, right? Well, in a sense, we're just getting what we deserve. Now, that innocent girl, those innocent kids at the school there, that got shot by the tranny, those six innocent people, they didn't deserve it in a legal sense. They didn't deserve it in a moral sense. But as a group, Christian America, the violence that is now being directed against us, we are getting what we deserve. We have allowed violence to be visited upon the most defenseless. And we were the ones who could stand up and stop it. We're the only ones. We're the only ones who know better. The atheists and the heathen, they don't know better. They think they evolved from animals. And the purpose for them in life is to enjoy life. That's what they think. So they don't know any better. We were the ones who were entrusted to stand up for the most defenseless among us, and we failed to do so. And so now violence, death, murder, and bloodshed has been visited upon the most defenseless among us for generations. So now that violence and bloodshed is coming our way. Because the death penalty can never be eliminated. It can only be redirected against the innocent and amplified. So because we didn't put to death those who should have been put to death for advocating the murder of innocent people, because we didn't do that, that is now coming our way. It's the natural order of things. Once the violent, now, and there's a natural order to how this all works out. Once the violence against us becomes severe enough, we will eventually respond as we should have back when life was easy and we were enjoying that lack of conflict and that making a good living and going to the good restaurants and going to the movies and murdering all those innocent people. Eventually, we will respond. Now, that takes us to Montana with another tranny. This is a male Democrat legislator who claims to be a woman. I had to change that. I had to alter that because this is... It is Montana, I know. In Montana, they've elected a tranny to the House. Whatever. They got towns in Montana where one gay bar can elect a... So that's democracy for it. One gay bar can elect a legislator. So let's see. The Democrat tranny... The sex pervert calls himself Zoe Zephyr, and he claimed that legislation limiting the sexual mutilation of children, the tranny claimed that legislation would torture teenagers. And listen to what the tranny said to the other. There's a Freudian slip. This is what the tranny said to the Republicans. He said, if you vote yes on this bill, the bill was to limit and regulate the sexual mutilation of children. If you vote yes on this bill, I hope the next time there's an invocation, when you bow your heads in prayer, you see the blood on your hands. Unquote. That's what the tranny said to the Republicans. So the tranny wants unrestrained sexual mutilation of children. The Republicans want common sense regulation of the sexual mutilation of children. These two are having an argument. And the tranny basically implies that we're going to kill you. That's what that was. That was a veiled threat. Yeah, I know he mentioned the blood on the Republican hands. That's supposed to imply that they're killing people. But what that is I'm going to have the right to kill you. That's what the tranny said. The Republicans responded to the indirect threat by calling for the legislator to be censured. That means to put a black check mark on their report card in their file. And so everyone's offended that the tranny basically implies murder. And they're shocked. But Republicans, conservatives, and Christians who have tolerated the degeneration of society. The degeneration to the point where the conservatives are calling for reasonable restrictions on sexually mutilating children. So all the Republicans and the conservatives and the Christians who've tolerated this level of degradation, you shouldn't be surprised that this is going to eventually get you threatened with death. It's going to get you assaulted, and eventually it's going to get you killed. Had we held the line on divorce and pornography back then, if we had held the line against divorce and pornography, we wouldn't be here. But here we are. And so I can't believe I have to say this. We, as Christian conservatives, should stand against all sexual mutilation. Against not everyone, not just children even. We should stand against all sex outside of marriage, all publication, all promotion of anything advocating any kind of sex outside of marriage of a man and a woman. By the way, I can't believe I have to say that. We have to stand up against the concept of divorce. We have to stand up against any legalized pornography. We have to not try to hold on to even a little bit of what got us here. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. Thanks for sticking with us, folks. And so we leave Montana and the transgendered elected official there who has threatened violence against conservatives for responsible sexual mutilation of children. Responsible, good, common sense restrictions. And so I mentioned the death penalty earlier. The death penalty cannot be eliminated. It can only be redirected against the innocent and amplified. That is an axiom established by the late, great Bob Enyart, who was the studio where we did radio for the better part of 25 years, Arvada, Colorado, just outside Denver, in the Denver metro area. And I happened to be driving through Arvada, Colorado last week when I turned on the radio and I heard the host discussing this story. At about 10:45 p.m. last Wednesday night, 20-year-old Alexa Bartell was driving home when someone threw a large rock at Bartell's car. The rock went through the windshield and struck and killed her. Bartel was on the phone with a friend when she was struck. The phone went silent, but Bartel's friend was able to find her by tracking the phone. Bartel was from Arvada, Colorado, and this murder occurred just north of Arvada, Colorado. At the time I listened on the radio, they weren't sure how she had died. But they were just taking calls, asking why, and commenting on how senseless it is that an innocent 20-year-old girl just trying to drive home on a late night could be murdered in such a senseless fashion. And because her name is Alexa, and because I have a daughter right around that age, I got pretty choked up just driving down the road because I thought about my own kids. And I thought about how the effective legalization of crime is what killed Alexa. I mean, it was the killer, right? It was whoever threw the rock. But I'm talking about a philosophical point that needs to be made. In Colorado, the governing officials are slowly legalizing crime. Everything that used to be against the law in Colorado is slowly being legalized. And so criminals become more and more brazen and more naked in their ambition. They have no fear. Whoever threw this rock at Alexa's car has no fear of being punished appropriately. Little fear of being punished at all. And the people in Alexa's neighborhood there in Arvada, Colorado, who have tolerated the murder, the wholesale slaughter of the most innocent and defenseless people in their neighborhood, the people in Alexa's neighborhood who have tolerated that, will be judged by the cruelest hand. The people in Alexa's neighborhood who are so shocked and devastated that she was murdered in such a brutal and senseless fashion are being judged by the cruelest hand. Alexa's family is being judged by the cruelest hand. So families who don't discipline their children, families who are afraid to judge and discipline their children, your children will be judged and disciplined. But it won't be by your hand. It will be at the hand of the world. That's a lesson for parents. A lesson for cities like Arvada, Colorado. If you tolerate murder and bloodshed on the most innocent and defenseless members of your community, then other members of your community will be judged by the cruelest. The cruelest hand, without mercy. So I hope that I've made the point that all of this is happening, that we see the, and I hear my conservative friends talk about it, about its madness. It's as if the world has lost its mind. People are going crazy. These massacres, these senseless killings. I mean, none of us want to admit it, but none of us can actually walk into the grocery store anymore without thinking about being murdered. Because it happens. And it's going to happen again. The question is, will it happen here at this time while I'm in the store? And we're getting what we deserve. We deserve that level of fear because we have tolerated all of this violence and this bloodshed. And so now I'd like to close on something funny. And I don't know if this is funny, but this is something I just want to remind people of. This isn't that important because this is just politics. But I think it does go to, the point of the guilt, the collective guilt that we all deserve for having tolerated open rebellion against God, which was delivered nakedly as open rejection of the American ideal, which I saw it with the election of Bill Clinton. I was shocked that we could elect a guy who was a pro-abort. That was shocking back 30 years ago. And it really culminated with the installation of Barack Obama, who continues to govern quite effectively from his viewpoint, by the way. Barack Obama is probably governing more effectively now than he did when he was actually sitting in the Oval Office. And so I want to go to this story. In 2009, Barack Obama gave his State of the Union address. Barack Obama was elected in November of 2008, and by March of 2009, Barack Obama had overthrown the medical industry with his Obamacare, if you all remember, right? It was just sitting there, and all he had to do was step into office, and the legislature had it all ready for him, and they signed it, and it was done. Boom. Socialized medicine in a moment. Anyway, that was shocking. To me. Anyway, he stood up at the State of the Union address and he said this: there are those who claim that our reform efforts will ensure illegal immigrants. This too is false. The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those here illegally. Unquote. At which point, if you remember, Representative Joe Wilson, a Republican from California, back when they used to have those, he shouted, "You lie!" Do you all remember that? I remember it. And Joe Wilson was called out on all sides. He was called out by Republicans, conservatives, talk radio hosts who claimed to be conservative. They all condemned Joe Wilson and said that was just inappropriate, beyond the pale, to shout "You lie" at America's first black president. Well, and why is it important that he was the first black president? Oh, well, you know, because melanin is so important in executive authority. But they all bought into the narrative. They all played along with it, right? Because we're all born disabled. We're all born without any hope. We don't have a chance. So anyway, I forgive him to some degree, but I don't forgive them to the degree that they all piled on this Republican for pointing out something so obviously true. So anyway, it's such a breach of decorum that Joe Wilson's deplorable. He's hurt. He hurts our side by saying something like that. I remember that. It made me want to puke. So 2008 and during the Obama presidency in general, Republicans and conservatives were always careful to be offended by a breach of decorum. But when Barack Obama overthrew the American medical system and installed socialized medicine, a breach of decorum was appropriate. It was a breach of decorum. It wasn't treason. It wasn't insurrection. It wasn't assassination. It wasn't rebellion. But when it comes to open overthrow of the American ideal, a breach of decorum is appropriate. In fact, a vulgar breach of decorum is absolutely required. If decorum means silence in the face of naked evil and wickedness, if that's what is required for decorum, then I'm sorry, sir. A breach of decorum is in order. And Joe Wilson was prophetic when he shouted, "You lie," because Barack was lying. Now, Barack's a lawyer, so you notice how he said it? The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those here illegally. And so technically, legalistically, Barack is right. The reforms he proposed, they didn't apply. It was Joe Biden who now has applied them to. Does that make the lie any different? Especially since it's actually Barack. This is the Barack Obama administration, for crying out loud. So, but anyway, and then let's see. Do I have anything else that I want to? I don't think I can end on that either, can I? Oh, Germany is running out of electricity, so naturally they've shut down their last nuclear plant, just you know, because of the. That's their form of worship, I think, in the new religion that we learned about earlier. Let's see. Do I have... some good news. The ninja killer, Louis Gaskin, he was executed in Georgia. I'm sorry. Where was this? I hate to do this. Let's see. He was executed in Florida while I was out. And so we just want to thank the governing officials in Florida who executed... The ninja killer, Louis Gaskin, he was convicted of first-degree murder after killing Robert Sturmfels, 56 years old, and his wife, Georgette, on December 20th, 1989. How long ago? That's over 30 years ago. A jury recommended the death sentence in 1990. And that just happened. Gaskin had a last meal of barbecued pork ribs, pork and turkey neck, buffalo wings, shrimp fried rice, French fries, and water. And he chose not to meet with a spiritual advisor before his execution. Relatives of the murder victims were not present at his execution because the ones that were still alive don't even remember it because it's a generation ago. Isn't that shocking that no one from their family came? Wow. During the double murder, a clock, two lamps, and a VCR were stolen, later found in the killer's house, wrapped as Christmas gifts to his live-in girlfriend. So this guy murdered two people for some stuff out of their living room. And 30 years... For 30 years, you know what's been building is the pressure's been building. You can't have this. The blood cries out. So I'm not sure exactly what that means in Genesis, but I believe what that means is there is a physical limit to how much nature, the universe God created has a limit to how much of this it can absorb before it blows up and blows out against the people inflicting it upon the earth. Yeah, you talk about Earth Day. All right, today's Earth Day. I'm going to tell you, the earth is getting angry. You've heard that one, right? Well, there may be some truth to it, okay? And the leftists, they don't understand it, but it's in Genesis. And I don't fully understand it, but, there you have it. Think about it. I'll study it some more. Now, we've got the leak of the intelligence. I'll close with this, something that's not quite as just deep and painful as everything we've talked about today. I think about that girl in that car and just I'm telling you, wow. I want to go to war with these people. When I heard that story and I was driving through Arvada, Colorado, I wanted to get my hands on someone and kill them. The someone responsible for that. I wanted to kill them. Physically with my own hands right then. Pray to God that I could have been along the side of the road and seen that happen and been able to grab that guy. All right, so the leaked intelligence. The leaked intelligence allegedly leaked by this kid, this 20-year-old. You can't trust the government that kid actually did this. There's so many different psychological operations being executed right now that... You can't believe any of these people about anything. For all we know, Barack Obama and Michelle and her mom are leaking this information about the war so that they can undermine America, they can undermine Russia, they can undermine China. All they want is chaos. They want chaos and bloodshed and confusion so that they can, I'm not sure what. Maybe that is the point, because they're guilt-ridden, atheist, heathen, godless, communist, Marxist, sex perverts, and bloodshed, chaos, pain, and viciousness, just that is the point. Maybe that's the end game for them. And so this leak comes out, and what? So I'm not going to read the story here, because this story here shouldn't be published. So whatever's in those leaked documents, you shouldn't be publishing them. And so the fact that our government is evil and that it's using its authority to do evil things does not give us the right to overthrow and rebel against that authority. So whoever took these documents and leaked them, they should be put on trial and they should be executed for treason. So more than 4 months, these documents have been leaked for months. Whoever leaked them should be tried, if convicted, executed, just like Edward Snowden should be tried. Bradley Manning should be tried, Julian Assange. They should all be put on trial, and if guilty, they should be executed. The government has the right to secret intelligence. Just because the government's been seized by a criminally insane sex cult does not mean that the people have the authority to overthrow the principality of the government itself. If the people trusted God, he would take care of the problem without requiring us to resort to treason or to murder. If we would just trust God to fix the criminally insane sex cult, that problem we have, that the criminally insane sex cult has seized the government, how do we fix that problem? I don't know. But we have to trust God that he can fix that. Because I can't fix it and you can't fix it. But I can assure you that there is no problem involving a criminally insane sex cult that God cannot fix. And he could fix it in relatively short order and relatively painlessly if we would just trust him to fix it. And so that's what I will do. I will trust him, and I will not condone treason against the principality of the government, the governing authorities that God ordained, okay? So stop and think about that the next time you start singing the praises of people who are overthrowing the established principalities that God ordained. Set aside the criminally insane sex cult and stick with principles and trust God, and he'll get us out of this one way or another, folks. And I want to thank my friends at Real Science Radio, and I want to thank you for tuning in. Should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.